through 4. Here before you on this Lord's table, I appreciate that they put up that scene about us giving the Lord's Supper and taking the Lord's Supper, because a lot of times we forget. But we see on the table it says remember. And a lot of times we just forget and we don't remember what God's done for us. It's His broken body and His shed blood. So today I want you to remember the cross. I want you to remember the tomb. And I want you to remember the resurrection. That is a great part of our life, what you see on that tomb and also the resurrection, but the cross most especially today. And it says in these verses of Scripture that He rose. And verse 1, going into our message kind of quickly this morning, verse 1, the 15, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memories what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to Scriptures." Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You for this great service today. Today we know this is Easter, as each Sunday represents Easter, Lord, the resurrection. Lord, we want to thank You so much for what You've done for us 2,000 years ago, that You continue to do for us because You rose again. Father, we just want to thank You for every person here. We know that You'll work in the hearts of the people. And Father, we just pray that Your name might be glorified even higher and better than it is right now for the far scene of this service, through the Spirit, through the Word, and through the praise of Your people. And we thank You in the special, and I hope we have a great day today and honoring You in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. It says the good news, He rose again. The good news, why the gospel is good news? It says because Christ died for our sins. You know, this past Friday is what we call Good Friday. It's time, you know, the farmers, they like to plant their garden, but it's always Good Friday before Easter. Well, why is it a good news? Because of someone dying. We've had funerals this past week or two ago, several funerals around in the community. People die. We have funerals. What's good about a funeral? But here in the Scripture, it says Good Friday because Jesus Christ died. What's good news about someone dying? Well, it says Christ died for our sins, and that's good news. And that's the reason it's good news on Good Friday, because He died for our sins. As He paid for our sins on the cross of Calvary, the penalty that we could not pay. It says there in verse 4, He was buried. Not only that He died, it says that He was buried. 3 days and 3 nights, His body was in that tomb. Jesus paid for the sin debt, buried, and put our sins away. Something that you and I could not do, pay for our sins. They was put away. They was put away far from the sight of God, behind God's back. He buried His sins in that tomb, buried our sins in that tomb. He paid the price that we could not pay. It says there in verse 4, if you have your Bible, I hope that you do. And it says in verse 4, and that He was buried. If you look at that statement in your Bible, is there a period there or there a comma? Because a lot of translations has a period. All false cults and their leaders, He's dead. There's a period. Muhammad, He died. Period. Joseph Smith, He died. Period. All the false cults, He died. Period. But what is in our Bible? A comma. And it says, and He rose again. There's no period there. There's a comma. The third day according to the Scriptures. Thank You, Lord, for that. Now, that's good news. In the same chapter, verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, your faith also vain, if Christ did not rise. If there had been a period there my preaching and Brother Marshall's and all the preparation I made this week and I always make, it would be in vain. All of our preaching would be in vain if Christ have not risen from the grave. And you see, as I saw all the work was put into this cantata, all the flowers you see at church, all the work was put in for this day is called Easter Sunday. If Christ have not rose from that grave as he said he would, all this would be vain. Why are you sitting here this morning if that was not the truth? If Christ did not rise from that grave, why are you here today? This would be vain for each one of us to be here. But that good news, I'm going to tell you, everything that was done, he was worthy of everything. Not we were wasting our time today because Jesus Christ rose again. And this church, as beautiful as it is, and all the hymns that sung, all if Christ have not arisen from that grave, all this would be vain. Jesus Christ is alive forevermore, and that gives me hope. That gives me hope because of my sin problem. Did you understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Did you know what that means? Me? That means you? That means every one of us? And I would have no hope for my sin problem because I can't pay for my sin debt myself. I don't have anything that God would accept for sin if I just sinned one time, and I sinned a whole lot more than that. But just one little lie if I told, just one little thing that I stole, I could not pay God back for that sin debt. I don't have anything that God would accept. But Jesus Christ went on that cross. He said, I'll die for that man I be. I'll die for this whole world. And he did. So I have hope now because of this sin problem that I have because of Jesus Christ. In verse 18 again in this same chapter, it said, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ would be perished or perishing. It says, you know what? We've had funerals. You've had funerals. We've had loved ones has died and went on to be with the Lord. But if Christ have not rose, you will never see that loved one again. You'll never see mama. You'll never see daddy. You'll never see that dear child. You will never see your loved ones again. All those fell asleep in Christ are perished if Christ did not do what he said he would do. I will come back from the grave. The Christ, it says to the tomb, stop me. It says from science, explain me. The technology, he says, try to duplicate me. History, you try to repeat me. For unbelief, disprove me. For the church, proclaim me. For all here today, he says, believe me. Christ arose again from the grave. And Romans 10:9-10 says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Christ arose again, as he said. You know what? There's music to the resurrection. Did you know that? Man, it sounds good to me. I've been kind of hipped up all week thinking about this service today, about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what, there's hope in my heart. Are there hope in your heart today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ arose? Life will be over shortly for me. Life will be over shortly for you. But you know what? I'm expecting the resurrection. And I'm expecting a better life in this life that I'm living here on this old world. And before this old world gets through with us, we all may be looking for an exit out of here before the devil gets through with us. But it tells us something about it. There's something very personal about the good news that Jesus Christ rose again, the death and the burial and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. It's very personal to me. The Bible, you know, says a lot of things about what Jesus Christ pronounced, and he was a man, you know, it says some things that other people could not say and make proof of. But you know what he said? They said that never a man spoke like this man spoke before. But not only that, you see, he says, I can forgive sin. He said that I have all power in heaven and earth, and no matter what you've done, I got the power to forgive sin. And then you said one of these days, you said, I'm going to be the judge. I'm going to judge you. I'm going to judge the world. Everybody's going to stand before me, and you're going to be judging. I'm going to be the one to do the judging, Jesus Christ, all-loving Savior. But also he says, I'm going to die. I'm going to the grave. And then he said, I'm coming back. The onlyest man that ever said, I'll die, I'll come back. Oh, who's any? You know what? He was a great physician, but you see, he died. He said, I'm coming back, but he didn't come back. Elvis Presley hadn't come back, but Jesus Christ said, I'm going to die and I'm going to come back, and he came back. I'm going to tell you, that makes it very dear to my heart and to you too, to know that Jesus Christ come back. He used two illustrations in the Bible that he would come back. He's talking about the temple, and he told his disciples, if you destroy this temple, and he's talking about himself at that time, he says, I'll build it back in 3 days. I'll come back again. They said, well, it took us 70 years to build this temple. You going to build it back in 3 days? He was talking about his body. I will come back again. Also use the example of Jonah. It was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. And you know what? He come back again. Jesus Christ says, I'll come back again. 3 days and three nights. But you know what? He is in that old grave. And you know what? That old spirit walking around in the tombs of this old earth. But he come back again just like he said he would be. I'll be back. You know what that tells me? That Jesus Christ kept his word. If he kept his word about his own self, he'd keep his word about me. Amen? And one of these days, I'll have a resurrection body. One of these days, I'll be in heaven with Jesus Christ. He said, I will come back, and he kept his word. Thank you. But I'm going to tell you, this resurrection also vindicates his word, what he said that he would do. Matthew 28:6, it says, as we think about this, boy, he says, he is not here as they went to that tomb. He is risen as he said. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. They said he will rise, and he rose again. Also, John chapter 14, verse 1, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus Christ said he would come back. I believe what he said he would do. He done that. He said, I'm going to make a place for you and a place for you, a place for you and a place for everybody that believes in me. He says, whenever I do, Jesus said, I'll come back. The resurrection vindicated to what Jesus Christ said that he would do. And I believe he kept his word and will keep his word in everything he does. He's coming back. And Romans 6:23, we know that at one time that, you know what, his word might not have been much for people, but I'm going to tell you, it's a lot today. Romans 6:23, it says, For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He kept his word. Now, as you think about this, Jesus Christ says to the hungry heart, and there's a lot of people that's hungry today, he said, I'm the bread of life. He said that if you're tired and weary, and there's a lot of people that's tired and weary in this world, he says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Are you battling temptation today? Jesus Christ said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. Believe the Bible. Why, Jesus Christ, he came out of the grave because he said, I'll come out of that grave. The word of God that Jesus Christ rose again vindicated his work that he's still doing right now, his work, because he died on a cross and he paid the sin debt for you and I. It vindicated his work, what he done. For you and for me and for the whole world. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteous of God in him. But God commenced his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also had once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust is me, that he might be brought me, he may bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. 1 John 2:2 said, but he is a propitiation for our sin, and not for our sin only, but for the sins of the whole world. He died, yes. Was his death, was it sufficient for your sin and my sin? Was it adequate for everything we ever done? This is Easter. And you know what God says about Easter, God the Father? You know what he's saying about Easter today? The resurrection of Jesus Christ, what we celebrate. You know what God says? Amen. That is Easter. What he says about our sin, what Christ has done. It is finished, as they sung that song. People all over. There's something now, it's very powerful, about this good news. About Jesus Christ rose again. Very, very powerful. Last week I read a scripture, Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. There's something very powerful about the good news that Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. He lived, he's dead, he's living again, he has the keys of hell and death, he is a keeper of the keys. That means the power of authority over hell and death. The power to latch people in and latch people out is a power of keys. Are you latched in or are you latched out? Jesus Christ says, I have the power. Before Jesus Christ came, the devil had the power to demand death to every sinner based on the Word of God. The devil can pronounce death because of the power of God. What do you mean? Well, the Word of God says, for the wages of sin is death. There you go, the devil says. That man sinned, God. The power of death is upon that person because he sinned. The devil could demand power upon the person because of the Scripture says, what Word of God says. God, you said it in your Word. There it is. But the gift of God is Jesus Christ, life eternal. Jesus came, the struggle began. Jesus and the devil, they had that struggle of the world struggle. Jesus Christ broke that grip of Satan, took that keys away. You see, the devil has a purpose in your life, and it's not just to annoy you, it's to destroy you. To destroy you. Jesus and the devil, they had a mighty conflict while he was on this earth. At the cross, the tomb, the old devil thought he had him. Put him in that tomb. I won the war. Dead and buried in that tomb. Stone rolled in front of that tomb. The whole Roman Empire leaned against that stone. Every demon from hell leaned against that stone. But as they sung, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph of the power over the foe. Jesus Christ rose again. Easter morning he arose. Then Jesus Christ stretched out that nail-scarred hand to old Satan himself. He said, give me the keys of death. Now Jesus Christ is in control of death and hell. Now you don't have to go to hell because you sin. The devil says, I demand that man, that woman, because of their sin. Jesus Christ says, God, don't look at that sin. Look at me through the blood, what I done on Calvary's cross. I have the keys now. That person don't have to go to hell because of their sin. Well, look what I've done on Calvary's cross, God the Father. God the Father looks over there at the Son. He don't look at me. He looks at that Son, and all he sees is the blood. He cannot see my sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus has the keys. I tell you, the keys of death and hell. You know, death is an enemy. 1 Corinthians 15 and 26 says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. You see, death is an enemy to every one of us. Death is an enemy. One of these days, you're going to have to face death. Did you know what? Death reaches into the hospital. It goes in the ICU. It goes there in the baby ward. It goes in each of the rooms of the hospital. It stalks the young. It stalks the old. You see, it goes into the baby's crib in that home. Death rides the highway. Each day that we go on our highway, a death we must all face. And the life that we're living is like a checkered game. When you get through playing, you take all the kings and all the pieces that's left and you put them back in the box. Do you know you can take all the pieces of your life when it's all over with? We're all going to a box. We're all going to a box. That last enemy is old death. Death is a bully on the playground. He's a bully in this life we're living this day. I remember whenever my dad moved back to Miami, I was about 12 or 13 years old, and it's bad for kids to have to move schools, I can tell you that. And I was down there, I don't know, about 12 or 13 years old. Brother Marshall Lee was probably down there, I don't know, but anyway, I was about 12, 13 years old, went to a new school, and there's always bullies. And I was probably the smallest one in the class, always have been small, And this little bully, I was riding home, you know, and I hate to go by his house because he done told me he was going to get you. I'm going to get you, boy. Boy, I was scared to death. I'm going to tell you what, that next evening, I know I had to go by his house right on that street corner, and my knees was playing Amazing Grace. I can tell you I was so scared. I know I had to go by there. I had a cousin down there. I didn't even know him at that time, but I got to know him before that day. His name was Earl Jr. Boy. It lived up there. His father up around Scuffletown, big farmers. No, they was already down at carpenter work and doing a carpenter work. And he was a football player. I mean, he was a good old football, big old muscles and everything, old Earl Jr. was. And I was riding my bicycle. Had to go by that big old bully on the corner, you know. And old Earl Jr. rode his bicycle right up by me. How you doing? I'm fine. Good. How you doing, Earl? And that old bully pushed his bicycle right out front and stopped us. And old Earl Jr. said, "What do you want?" And I threw my shoulders back. I said, "Yeah, what do you want?" You know what? That old bully, the devil. "What do you want, devil?" "Because Jesus Christ is my friend. He's going to take care of the bully of old death for me. He'll take care of the bully of death for you also. If that old bully is maimed, he'll take care of him. Because he said, I rose again. I will." But you know, there's something very practical about this good news. Practical about this good news that Jesus Christ rose again, as I done read you verse 9 and 10 in Romans. But you see the title. Don't forget this. The cross, the tomb, and the resurrection. We need to get it in our heart, in our head, that it would change us this morning if we just believe this. There was another man in the Bible. In just a moment, I'll be through. But you know what? He changed him because of his appreciation and anticipation of the resurrection and a crucifixion. There was two men. Y'all remember it took down the body of Jesus Christ, Nicodemus, and also Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible says that he was a secret disciple. But it was because of the fear of the Jews. You know, there's a lot of secret disciples today. They won't get involved because of fear. Might not be fear, but they fear. Maybe fear they can't live up to it. A fear what people might say. But what happened to this Joseph can happen to you this morning if you just understand that he was a secret disciple. And he didn't want to get involved. He didn't want to be a church member. He didn't want to come regular. He didn't want to come to Sunday school. He didn't want to tithe. He didn't want to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But you see, he was a follower of Jesus Christ. He didn't want people to know that, but yet he was. It says there in Luke chapter 23, 52 and 53, "This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus Christ, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid." But I want to show you his appreciation. He wrapped him in linen. He wanted to show his best. Something happened to Joseph Arimathea the day as he watched Jesus Christ on that cross and see what he'd done for him. He was a secret disciple. But you see the love that he saw that Jesus Christ had for him burn away his secrecy. He was no longer a secret disciple anymore. He watched Jesus Christ die on the cross. Is it too much this morning to ask you to show your appreciation for whatever God has laid on your heart? Whether to accept him as Savior, or where come for church membership, or come for commitment, or whatever God has talked to you about, would it be too much today to be a part of what God has called you to be a part? What have you wrapped Jesus Christ in? This Joseph Arimathea, he wrapped him in white linen, showing his appreciation for what Christ done for him. Have you wrapped Jesus Christ in your commitment to be committed to Jesus Christ in his church? Have you wrapped him in the commitment of your time that you should give Jesus Christ? Have you wrapped him in your service? Have you wrapped him in the gift of your tithing? Everything that comes into your household, a 10% belongs to Jesus Christ, and that's just the beginning. Have you wrapped him in your tithes? Wrapped him in church membership? You see, because this appreciation for the crucifixion as he watched Jesus Christ die for him, where never man before was laid in that tomb. You see, that says other parts of the Bible, it says that was his own tomb. Joseph had his tomb already prepared. That was his tomb. He let Jesus Christ be buried in his tomb. The gospel tells us about that. He had purchased with his own self. You see, Joseph, like you and I today, I'm going to tell you, you need to make some considerations about your death. He had made some consideration about his death because he had already prepared himself a tomb. How about you? Do you have a place of burial? People don't want to talk about it. They don't want to discuss it. But you say, you're going to meet that old bully. You're going to meet that enemy. Joseph made preparations for his grave. Have you made preparations for your grave? I ain't just talking about a place to be buried. But have you faced that old certain death? Have you made that preparation that God says there's appointed time and then judgment for death? You need to be ready to die and you need to be ready to meet God, just like old Joseph was. He made preparation. And Jesus was placed into his tomb. Now listen to this. Now Joseph, he said he was a disciple. Are you a disciple this morning of Jesus Christ? If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you know what that means? That means that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Joseph had Jesus placed in his tomb. But Jesus didn't stay in his tomb. He come out of his tomb. I got my place out of old Mill Creek Baptist Church in Mem Joyce, and I see my name there sometimes, and I go and I stand at the grave. And I look at my grave site, my headstone. Jesus has already been through my grave because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Just as surely as he was in Joseph's tomb, he's been in mine. He's not there anymore. I'm not going to be there. My old body will just go back to old dirt it come from. I ain't worried about this old body. This is not the real me you're looking at this morning. There's a soul and there's a spirit. I'll get a new body one of these days. But I tell you one thing, I'm not in it. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm following him through the grave. Up from the grave he arose. Up from the grave I'm going to rise also. Because I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Just like old Joseph. Are you ready? Are you ready this morning? Are you want to give everything to the Lord that you need to give to him because you see you're going to face that big bully one of these days. Joseph wrapped him in linen. What are you going to wrap Jesus Christ in? What have you done for Jesus Christ lately? What are you going to do for Jesus Christ this morning? We fix to give a song of invitation. And then it's going to be up to you. Are you going to wrap him in your commitment to accept him as Lord and Savior? Are you going to make a commitment that this is maybe the church that you want to serve him in or some other church? Are you going to make a commitment from here on out, I'm going to wrap him in every bit of my time that I can spare for Jesus Christ? Is he worth it? How about your tithe and your offering for Jesus Christ? You see, I want to tell you, God don't need your money. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. But if you have a little bit of common spiritual sense, the tithe is not for God. The tithe is for you. You get the benefit out of it. God don't need your money. Would you wrap him in your tithe to show the appreciation for what he's done for you? And I can assure you one thing, he will pay you back 100-fold and then some. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Even your time belongs to him. Your talent belongs to him. Everything belongs to Jesus. And then what he done for me, he went to my old grave out there, Mill Creek Baptist Church, and he kicked out both ends of it. And I'm not going to stay there. They're just a resting place for a little while. If he don't come back and rapture up before, then I'll be spending all that money for nothing. Praise the Lord, I'm not going to be there one way or the other. just a resting place. Brother Orville, you got a song that you're going to sing? Let's come this time. I hope that really that God has really got your attention this morning. Brother Orville is going to come sing a special song.